Okay, so this is the Church Growth Track Thursday class, track two, and this is March 22nd.
The 22nd? That's my daughter's birthday today.
Well, you have so many.
My son's birthday too.
So many, you better keep track of them all. Okay, well, I'm going to...
That's awesome.
Oh, getting a call. Hang on. Probably someone calling, trying to get on to the church track call. Okay, mute myself for a second.
Well, hello, everybody. So it's Michael again. I'll take over while Glenn's fielding a call from somebody. But anyway, I just want to bring you my greeting. I'm in Brazil right now, and I'm very happy to have good internet here, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere outside of Sao Paulo, about 3 hours, right in between Sao Paulo and a city called Curitiba. And so I'm in a sort of very tiny little primitive hotel, but I'm working at a Youth with a Mission base here. And the youth is about 50 students, and it's a partnership between one of the Youth with a Mission schools called Fire and Fragrance, DTS, which is based in Kona, but they have a branch here. And then another ministry that I work with called Dunamis. And Dunamis is an amazing ministry. They have about 150 campus ministries throughout the nation of Brazil. And the leader is a phenomenal leader named Teófilo Hayashi. He's a third generation Brazilian, and just a tremendous ministry there. And he pastors also a church of about 2,000 called Mount Zion. And so they purchased a farm out here. And so I've been coming out for the last couple of years to visit the farm, but now they have a full school running, which is amazing. And so I'm excited to be here with these On Fire students. And they're just about to go on outreach to, I think, 6 different nations. And so, they're going to be going to Greece and Papua New Guinea, and they're going to go to Amsterdam and Syria, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not Syria, but somewhere down. Anyway, so it's Greece. I don't know if I mentioned that. Anyway, they've got some great plans, and so it's fun to give input with them. But I'll turn it back to Glenn.
Okay. Well, sorry, guys. That was one of our new members trying to find how to get on the call, so I wanted to make sure. Okay, so let's pray and then do some intros. So Father God, thank you for the launching of this church growth track. And I'm excited with each person who's on the call and those who will be joining both later today as well as in the next week or two. And Lord, we're looking for great things for each of these ministries, for each church. Lord, we pray that we'll be able to really understand how to apply your word, how to apply principles, how to apply the best practices that have been learned through the years from other churches as well, Lord, that we might move our churches forward. And Lord, praying for revelation. I pray, Lord, as there's new ideas and there's real paradigm shifts that need to be made, that you would give us grace, Lord God. And we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, my name's Glenn Reed. I think I know most of you, but some of you are new. So hi there. I'm in Folsom, California, which is more in the center of California, near Sacramento. And Michael is based out of Reading, but he's in Brazil right now, but he's joining us. And how should we do this? So Michael, you've got another, 20 minutes that you can be with us? Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we, let's have you, okay, this is class number two here. But I know some of you are joining for the first time because you're catching up, and that's fine. And we have 2 years to do this, so it's okay. I want to go through some things on the website, but we want the format of the Church Growth Track classes is a little different from the Wednesday morning masterclass. Wednesday morning masterclass, Michael or someone else teaches for most of the time. There's a little bit of time for questions along the way. This is the flip of that. So we're going to do most of the time will be for discussion of the material that you guys are working on. And then we'll have a little bit of teaching just to kind of kick it off for a little bit of recap. But most of it is we really want to get into discussing what you're studying in the material. This is 8 weeks of where we are calling it the boot camp because it's like, it's the basics and the most important core concepts and principles and practices. And then over the subsequent 22 months, we'll be walking you through implementing that. I think what we'll do is we'll have Michael share a little bit first, and then we'll do intro because he's got to run to another class he's teaching.
Yes.
And then we'll go into intros, and then we'll actually talk more about the material and go over the website some too. So let's do that. So week one was on the subject was you, the senior leader. We really believe that everything starts with the senior leaders, and you are the core of the core. And humanly speaking, you're the foundation of the church. We know the Lord is the foundation and the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit. But from a human standpoint, everything really flows from the key leader. So we as leaders need to have our life in order and be really experiencing whatever it is that we want our members to be experiencing, we need to be experiencing.
That's right.
Let Michael share some on that. This is more of a recap from the videos and from the message, and then we'll go in from there. So Michael, I'm going to mute everybody else, and then I'm going to unmute you, Michael.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, hi, everybody. And
where'd you go?
Am I on?
There you are.
Okay, great. Well, it's again, welcome to this class. I know we're still building the foundations of this this particular track, the Q2Q church growth track. Ooh, Glenn.
What?
Noise. I don't know how it's happening, but
I'm sorry, super loud. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Anyway, well, it's good to be with all of you, and I'm so excited about this journey we're about to take together. And you know, first of all, let me just share a little bit about my passion. I really am so passionate about the Church of Jesus Christ. I feel like, you know, Jesus, you know, ordained that, you know, his massive purpose is to restore all things to their original intent, to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as much as possible in our particular epic season that we're in right now. And I believe that that's why he came, that's why he died, that's why he resurrected, was to redeem for himself a people that he could fill with his Holy Spirit and empower for the work of transforming lives, transforming the spheres of society, transforming our world to make it increasingly hospitable to heavenly reality, to bring God's heaven to earth, as he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, that we would bring heaven to earth. Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe the agency, the primary agency to accomplish that is the local church. And so it's really essential that our local churches be healthy, be thriving, be impacting. It's just so crucial that we build churches that impact cities and impact lives and change, you know, strengthen families and really produce the next generation and the next generation of that out of really strong believers who are standing up for Jesus around the world and bringing his love to bear in every sphere of the world. And so with that in mind, that's why we developed Pastor's Coach. Because, you know, as I've been working with churches for a few decades and initially started coaching churches about 25 years ago, I've become incredibly aware of how most of our churches are struggling. And, you know, there's a number that are doing well, you know, maybe about 20-30% maybe, but the majority of churches have hit roadblocks, have hit difficulties. Many pastors are dealing with blind spots and hindrances. And so we offered Pastor's Coach. I initially did about, I don't know, maybe 100 videos of different things that we thought were breakthrough points, which were awesome. But at the same time, unfortunately, you know, many people that were coming to our program were coming just, you know, kind of bits and pieces. So they come and get maybe one teaching on this and one teaching on that. And over the last couple of months, Glenn and I have been talking with some of our other team members and just saying, wow, I think we need something more comprehensive and consecutive, something that will actually lead us from point A to point Z and all the points in between. And so we realized by now we have a ton of excellent curriculum in place, but we've never organized it in terms of a real clear pathway for our pastors. We did that a little bit with what was called the Church Transformation Track, now called the Church Transformation Boot Camp, and that was our initial entry point. But you know, we realized after that we needed to have something even more exhaustive and more intensive for those who really want to change. Because again, just information is not going to change us. We really need a process, and we need to be committed to that process over a period of time. And so that's why we developed the Q2Q church growth track, is we really want to see real change. And I know it's a big commitment. I know that, you know, I would have had a hard time deciding, can I do this as a pastor back, you know, 20 years ago? It would have been hard for me, but I believe that what we're offering will actually bring you to the place where you've been longing for, which is, you know, if you double the size of your church, you can double the size of your staff, you can double the money that's going into outreach and impact. In other words, everything starts turning in the right direction when you start to actually build the structure and the church expression that's going to bring you there. So that's really the heart behind what we're doing. And as Glenn was saying, you know, it really begins with a leader. Now, we, you know, in our first couple of programs, well, you know, this entire boot camp, this first 2 months, is something that I believe really people can join any time and kind of cycle through. And we're going to tell people how to do that. And even if you join halfway in, you're going to have a good experience and you're going to cycle back to the first stuff. But it's really like kind of giving you an overview of our entire program. And but it is just conceptual. It's not practical. We start adding implementation and activation throughout the 22 months that follow. So we're going to give you over the next two months this really broad overview of what we believe some of the primary issues that every church needs to have in place in order for the church to thrive and prosper. And so basically, we're dealing with a bunch of issues. The first one is your mandate. And I think this is a little bit of review. We're starting to move into review. But do you know your mandate? Have you really gotten before the Lord and really determined your vision, your mission, and your purpose? And that is what we kind of consider to be your mandate. Like, what has the Lord told you to build? Part of that has to do with the city you're in. It has to do with the world you're building in. Mandate is just crucial to the whole process. The second thing we talk about a lot is we talk about the issue of building your core group. And so core group is crucial because the primary team is your first level of dissemination. In other words, on the basis of what Glenn said, you as the key leader and the key leader couple, you guys are the real sort of marker of the church. You're the personification of the message that you bring to the city you're in. And so it's necessary that you be authentic and that you have integrity and that what you say is what you do, and that there's this kind of holistic reality within you as a leader, that your marriage is healthy, that your children are doing well, that you're in a situation where your spiritual life is thriving, where you're connecting with God on a consistent basis and you're feeling an overflow of His Holy Spirit in your life. You know, each of these things, your lifestyle is well managed, that you have good times of play and fun, you know, hobbies. But then on the other hand, that you also have real intentionality in your role and responsibility as a leader, that you're doing the right things for the right reasons, producing the right results. And so all of these things are crucial to you. But then the next stage is to bring that out to the core. And we're going to be hitting that over the next couple of weeks pretty strongly. And then, of course, we're going to go way in depth when we go into the 22-week time of how to actually build your core and make it happen. And so in this time, you know, we're really trying to zero in. But the first thing is we want that overview. It's all about you. It's about your core team. And then it's about the culture you're building. How do you build dynamic culture? And then, you know, because I believe culture is probably the most unrecognized, most valuable asset that any pastor has. If you can build good culture, you can build a good church, because culture is to community what habit is to an individual. And to the extent that you actually build culture, you don't have to micro lead every person in every program, because the culture itself will build a momentum that actually brings people where you want them to go. And so we're going to talk about that in brief over this week and last week and the week to come, but we're going to go into great detail later as to how to actually build culture in your midst. And then, you know, we talk about the idea of mobilization. How do we actually get every member moving, building our volunteer base, building our worker base, building small groups that will actually achieve the results we're longing for. See, all of this is part of the overview that we're just beginning with in this last week and the week we're going into this week. And so we want to just, you know, give you a sense that all the topics we're touching will be topics that we're going to then drill down into and give you practical steps for implementing real life change within your church around these various issues. And so I just really, you know, I'm excited about walking with you through this time. Of course, I am traveling a bit, and Thursday mornings are usually a travel time for me, depending on where I'm going and what I'm doing. But, you know, as much as possible, I'm going to be on board. But that's the neat thing about this situation, is because it's not dependent on me. You're going to be watching videos in the midweek, and then you'll be in discussion with Glenn and the other group members during the call. So when I'm on, I'll certainly be part of the discussion, but then I'm going to transition off the call, and maybe occasionally I won't even be able to be on the call. But I believe the content will still be there for you to move forward. So let me stop there and just turn it back over to Glenn and guide us through some introductions, and then we'll go into some of the actual discussion time.
Okay.
If there's anything I forgot, Glenn, you can kind of drill down into it right now.
Okay. Well, we have, I want to maximize the time we have with you. So let's do this. Okay. Even before we do intros, let's take some questions from the material. So what we want to do, again, the focus of this time is to really to discuss the application of the material. So let's just first look at, when you watch the videos, and I know some of you have not been able to watch videos yet, you just joined yesterday or whatever, but from the material, was there anything that you, as you were watching, be like, wow, I don't get that, or how's that possible, or how does that work, or, you know, what does he mean by that? So let's take some questions, first of all, while we got Michael right now, and then we'll go into intros and stuff a little bit later. So we have a couple ways to do this. So we've got, okay, if you're new to Zoom, hover with your mouse over the bottom of the Zoom window, and you can open up the chat window, and you can put questions in the chat window. But also, I want you just to, right now, unmute yourself if you have a question, and just ask, you know, and you have to not be bashful, and no one asks any questions, I'm gonna start calling on people, and I don't take no for an answer. So that's what we did yesterday with the track. It was great. We had this fun in the Wednesday track with a bunch of Australians, because it's like 3 a.m. for them right now, so they're on late in the day. It's great. Okay, so let me get a question here. So what's the question from the material right off?
Maybe have them give a one sentence introduction right before they ask the question, and then we can consolidate.
Right. Okay.
I'll know who's asking.
Okay. So who's, okay. So you need to unmute yourself though. Okay. Who's going to go first? Come on. A bunch of preachers on the line here. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I want to ask something.
Okay, so tell us who you are.
I'm Ilse. I'm from Belgium. And we started a small church 5 years ago, but it's still very small. I don't know. You need to know something more?
Yes.
That's okay. That's good.
That's good. That's a good introduction.
My question, I didn't see the videos, but I read the whole script, and one of the things, I liked a lot of it, but one of the things I was questioning was, I like the idea of everybody as a minister, all church members as ministers, but over these 5 years, we had a lot of people in our church who are Christians for very long, like 30 years, 40 years, but struggling with the same problems, I think, over these 30 or 40 years.
Yes.
And they all want to speak in church and do very important things, But if you look at their life, you just see that they're not ready for it. And and it's also they want to, they especially want to be seen and to speak in church and do very important stuff, but they don't want the real commitment or and then I'm wondering, when I start talking with them about what's your purpose in life and what's God meant you to be, and they start saying, yeah, I think I'm a preacher. I really don't know how I have to cope with it.
Okay, well, let's tackle that. I mean, it's a super good question, and I really believe that it is relevant no matter what size your church is. In other words, I think there's always going to be people that want more authority and they want more visibility than they actually have character and responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so that produces an imbalance in your church that is really harmful if you're not careful. And the problem is that with many of our churches, it's kind of as if, I don't know if you've heard the phrase before, but we're building the ship at sea. We're building the airplane while we're flying through the air. And so we have this problem because many of the foundational things that would correct the problem you're dealing with, many of the foundational cultural and values understandings that would correct that are hard to put in place because we want to mobilize people as quickly as possible to get them serving. So we're usually cutting corners and we're usually compromising a bit to have people serve before they're really ready to serve. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so we create our own kind of confusion and imbalance in the church. Ideally, you want to build on a foundation and a culture that values character and values personal development more than they value applause or public visibility. But how do you do that? Well, you have to start from the beginning. And see, so what I really believe strongly is that probably the best model for church is the model of family. That family church, and you'll see that in our future material, that basically I think church is a family, but you know, we always forget sometimes we're trying to let our 2-year-old drive the car. And we can't do that. And sometimes we have a 20-year-old who never grew up who wants to drive the car, but he doesn't have the character to drive the car. Mm-hmm. And so we have to actually start with a developmental process in our churches. And that really begins with you and your leaders. If your leaders and, you know, let's say you have 3 to 4 leaders that are working closely with you and you're building that core, you've got to actually build the very culture that you want to have be in the 20 other members. You have to have that in your core first. So if you don't have permission in your core group to speak into their lives, like let's say you have 3 to 5 people that you're working closest with, but they won't let you speak into their lives and they want visibility, well, that's what you're going to have in your perimeter in your church as well. In other words, whatever's true inside of the core will be true in the whole church. So you've got to hammer out these values. And part of that value is, first of all, the value for maturity and the value for character. And you got to say, you know what, we cannot present a model that allows somebody who's sleeping with their girlfriend to have the microphone and be preaching. You know what I mean? That would be an example, obviously. I'm not saying that's happening in your church, but you know, maybe somebody's been a Christian for 7 or 8, 10 years, and they're living in a moral lifestyle, but they also want to be visible in front of the church. Well, let's talk about this. Let's go back into scripture. Let's look at what the Bible says about that, that we don't want to be many preachers because we will have the greater judgment, the scripture says. You know, so we have to go back to biblical principles, but the best way to do that is not to worry so much about the 20 or 30 or 40 people, but worry about the 5 or 10 people in your core leadership first. Once these things are established there, once the foundation is laid, then the foundation will begin to carry out like a ripple effect to the other members of the church. And so what we recommend is small groups are the best place to do this. That a Sunday morning meeting is not a good place to try to develop people. Mm-hmm. And people need to be developed in more of a family setting, because your Sunday morning meeting or your public meeting tends to be more of a performance meeting. And you want your best people speaking and so forth. So you want to change in small groups. And so we recommend that the first step in changing and instituting these values changes in your church be with you and your small group. You and your core group. If you have key leaders, take them into a small group environment and start doing development with them. Mm-hmm. Once they've been developed, and we have tools for that called Destiny Finder. And Destiny Finder is a tool that will help you actually begin to get down in their lives and get into the intimate places of their heart to be able to start shaping and forming them as disciples. And once you're doing that and you've done that effectively, then I would appoint, maybe take that one group and divide it into two groups. Let's say you had 10 people in that group. You take that core group and you divide it into two groups and have them invite 5 more people apiece. And they do the same thing with those other 5 people. And so what that does is it starts to infuse your church with a developmental ethic and a developmental priority that is radiating from the core of your church out to the perimeter. I'll stop there. Glenn, do you have anything to add to that before we move on?
Yes. In fact, that's our plan, is that following these first 2 months that you'll be launching in May, we'll be launching a 8-week small group with your core team. And we'll be giving you materials on that. We want you to actually start to actually plan for that. Whoa, we just lost the camera there.
We're fine.
Okay. And so that you would actually do that for 8 weeks in May and June, building that exact same thing that Michael's talking about, building that, the experience and, again, the vision and the vision for multiplication, everything within that core team. And then in September, you would be launching 2 or 3 or 4 groups out of that first group, which then you go, we go for 9 months then, where you really have time for the group to develop and for you to work with your leaders to raise up assistant leaders during that time, so that by the end of that 9 months, you have another set of leaders ready to go. So the following September, you launch then another set of groups. And so the idea is really to develop this multiplication dynamic. And once you get that truly going, where your main job as a pastor, and we say this, this is really crucial out of Ephesians 4, where it speaks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We're given, why? For the equipping of the saints, or your members, for the works of ministry. So your job primarily is not to care for everybody. Your job primarily is to equip your people for ministry. So we want you to be focusing on developing your people for ministry. So during that time, and the small group is the ideal vehicle for that. So we're going to give you materials on the Destiny Finder stuff, but I'll just give one example. For instance, that once people start to think about their destiny and their purpose, if one of your members says, well, I want to work with, children in Cambodia, you say, great. So I want you to lead the children's, to work with Children's Church, for a year, and we're going to pour into you and we're going to develop you so that then we can launch you into that a year from now. Or someone says, well, I want to open a kingdom, business or something. And he said, great, we want you to lead a small group for a year. You're going to learn about leadership. You're going to learn to work with people. And then we're going to work with you for a plan to launch. And we're going to hook you up with someone who's got a restaurant, just like you want to do. And they're going to mentor you. And so it's all about developing them, but then having them serve. Service is the primary stepping stone into development. So all that's coming. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to talk too much. All right. So
we're going to guide you through it though. So you're in good hands. We're going to guide you through that development process over the next couple of weeks.
So can I ask a quick question?
Yeah. Tell us who you are.
My name is Jamie. I'm a pastor of a church called The Well up in the Seattle, Tacoma area, Washington State.
Excellent.
One thing I've wondered is while working with this smaller core groups and then a little larger, should there be messaging starting to direct to the whole church from the pulpit in any ways, or keep that completely off the radar and just work just small until that's developed, or throwing hints out of new messages on Sunday mornings, kind of sort of sending out the mortars to soften up the ground for the whole church?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say do both. I think there's some things that you'd rather, like I wouldn't necessarily be too technical in the Sunday morning. I would be much more general and much more kind of laying the philosophical foundations from Scripture and showing biblical examples of different, you know, of how Jesus dealt with his apostles, how the church grew, how, you know, through the book of Acts. I'd be laying a lot of those foundations at this time. I would probably look at David and how David developed his team, how even how Jethro and Moses developed, you know, some of that kind of concept in the early Old Testament, you know, where delegation and involvement was key. I think that starting to season your church with those elements is super essential. And I think that, but again, you have to, you know, I think if you get too in the weeds on Sunday morning, that could be a mistake. But otherwise, in terms of general inspirational, and I think especially in terms of the understanding of family church, how it works, development, growth in Jesus, all those dynamics and the role of mentors and apprentices in every sphere of life, whether it's in school, you know, in education, in college, in the workplace. I mean, there's just so many examples that tie back into this truth. And so our ability to actually be able to promote, sort of to, as you said, soften the ground for the seeds you're planting on the personal level. I just think that the one challenge we always are trying to bring people back to is just that I think most of us are under the impression that Sunday mornings alone will do it. And they don't. And that's the thing we have to realize is that a half hour lecture on a Sunday morning is not going to transform your church. You have to be in people's lives. It has to be life on life. And that's the way Jesus built. That's the way that's the way that Paul built. And we cannot take shortcuts and just think if I just preach it on a Sunday, it's going to happen, because it generally doesn't. And then I can testify, you know, I've preached some powerful messages. I think I have 1,500 separate recorded messages. And I don't think anybody remembered them after 2 weeks. So yes, do both, but really the personal, the transformational, the mentoring, the discipleship is what's really going to bring the transformation. Stop there. Glenn, back to you.
Okay, we have a question in the chat window from James. I'm very interested in implementing a discovery Bible study discipleship strategy in our region. However, I'm also intent on developing my leadership using Destiny Finder. My struggle is whether I can do both simultaneously. James, can you talk a little more about discovery Bible study discipleship strategy?
Yeah, if you could just unmute yourself and just share for briefly what that is.
And we'll have to do it together in the trenches, but.
Okay, you came in halfway. So James, would you mind just kind of repeating that a bit?
Where do you go? James,
I'm sorry, I thought I was muted.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry. So we're asking you to kind of elaborate on the Discovery Bible Study Discipleship Strategy. What, you know, I'm not familiar with that specifically.
So one of the things that's happening in a lot of parts of the world is they're implementing kind of the man of peace principle, and they're bringing a mentor in to start a Bible study with someone and gather their family and things like that, and then basically planting a small group with those people.
Yes.
And, you know, then multiplying that group. Not like a cell group. It's a little bit different.
Right.
And
I'm familiar with that. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, it depends on but the question I would have is, do they prescribe a curriculum for you?
You know, they have some recommended things, and I am struggling with that because I feel like the curriculum should be a little bit more organized so that people develop a proper theological kind of approach to Bible study.
Sure. Yeah.
So, no, yeah, and wrestling with it.
And that's always a challenge, depending on what city you're in, what the kind of the prevailing cultural and sociological issues are in people's minds. You know, some people need probably a little bit more of a softer on-ramp into Christ, and other people can handle a more sort of steep on-ramp in terms of theology and in terms of biblical study. But here's the thing that we found is, you know, I have no problem with that at all. And actually, I'm working very closely with a couple of groups that are doing very in-depth, man of peace type, simple church building. And I actually believe in it. I really believe that there's something there. In fact, Eric Fish, who's been on our other calls, is doing that on campuses right now. We're really working together to try to implement within a traditional church structure, a more simple church, house church, launching of small groups as a very sort of clear discipleship mandate. And so I am familiar with the general teaching on that. And somebody's making a little bit of noise, Glenn, in the background. We have to be careful about noise, you guys, because it's coming in a little bit more here. But so I would say, I think you can combine them. The reason we use Destiny Finder is because it covers several things at once. It actually, you know, but again, I'm open to other forms and certainly other curriculum as well. So in fact, I just began at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. We just launched about 3 months ago, 17 groups that were actually doing micro church in the community. We decided we were originally proposing 3 different points of curriculum. We decided on 1 just because we wanted to be able to test it in that way. And so so we did Destiny Finder because it's a very easy thing to invite people to. Like, hey, come to my house and join a discipleship group. That's harder to invite people to. But hey, we're going to do an 8-week study on your purpose in life and how to discover your purpose. That was a very easy invitation to give to people because most people want to discuss it, their purpose in life. And so we used it as an invitational point of interest. But then in the process, if you go through each of the steps of those 8 weeks in a Destiny Finder, you're actually getting to know them in their history. You're getting to know them in their spiritual gifting. You're getting to know their dreams, their desires. You're getting to know their challenges and their roadblocks. And then you're getting to know kind of the steps that they could take to begin to move towards their destiny. So it becomes a developmental foundation stone within your groups. Now, again, you know, most of the traditional discipleship curriculum, I've taught it all over the years, you know, maybe not this particular brand, but I've developed my own and I've taught many other forms of discipleship material. Most of it is not developmentally geared. It's mostly informationally centered. I would recommend it being a developmental emphasis rather than an informational emphasis, because I think information is better distributed implemented in a person's life in a developmental context. So Glenn, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I need to actually bug off in a minute, Glenn. Are you okay?
Right. I was thinking you need to take off, right? So, Rick, you take one more quick question there from Fred,
sure.
Which I think will apply to a number of people. We are a brand new church plant. We have only about 20 people. How do we apply this leadership development of a core team when we don't have a core yet?
Well, I always recommend starting your church with a core if you can. So in other words, find those people. So I would even look over the 20 people you have right now, and I would say, who is the most faithful, available, and teachable? You know, that's a simple thing, fat people. And faithful, available, and teachable. And start working with those people right away. Now, again, if they're faithful but not available, or they're teachable but not faithful, you know, then you have to sort of disqualify them. But if you can find those individuals that you can pour into and actually enlist them into a greater degree of participation, that's where you're going to find your core initially. Now, in an early stage of a church plant, your core is going to morph a lot over the first year, 18 months. And so you don't want to necessarily build on that foundation forever. But you have to realize that the people that are coming in at this point will actually be, some of them will move on, probably about 50% will move on within the first 18 months. And so you want to be able to establish as much as possible those individuals now, but realize some of them are going to move on. But what's so interesting is that by the time 1 year or 18 months passes, you will realize that you have a core team that is really kind of bought into your heart and your vision and your methodology. And so again, I would start where you are, choose out of that 20 people, choose 3 to 5 that you feel like are fit that qualification, faithful, available, and teachable, and start working with them and start bringing them into a deeper, like I would start meeting with them in a separate meeting every week. And just start sharing your heart, sharing your vision, sharing your methodology, sharing your passion, and then seeing how they respond. Don't promise them any leadership position at first, but just say, wow, I just need some helpers to walk this out with me. And then the ones that begin to emerge with clear leadership ability, those are the ones that I would then appropriate for a specific responsibility. But anyway, well, gosh, you guys, I'm sorry to be on such a short time, but I'm on a mission. But anyway, God bless you guys, and Glenn, take it on from here.
Okay, Michael, thank you. God bless you. Okay. Right, so let me add on to that now. So for this initial period, though, we would say widen the net that you're going to bring people in for this initial period. So for the core group, small group meeting that you're going to do during May and June, I mean, you could invite, at least 15 of those people that are of your 20, if they're, somewhat on board and they're, somewhat strong believers, then I would invite all those into that first meeting. And then you're going to see as you go through that time, and as Michael said, as you go forward, some people are going to drop out, some people are going to really rise to the top, that they're faithful and they're available and they're teachable and they're on board. So we want to, then if all 20 of them are on board and they're all gung-ho, then fine, you've got a core of 20 and you got a church of 20, and hopefully they can work from there. So you want to work towards identifying who are going to be the ones that really meet all those qualifications and are also showing ability to lead other people. Going back to Ilse's question at the start about, if you've got people that have been Christians a long time, but they have problems and such. Well, we're not looking for perfect people because none of us are. And one of the things that I appreciate about Michael I've been working with Michael since 1989, and I'll share a little bit of my story, but was that he was very open to people getting involved and not just serving, but leading. And many of our churches have the mentality like, so you can fold chairs for 7 years. And after you fold the chairs for 7 years, then we'll let you fold the bulletins. And if you fold the bulletins correctly, then 3 years later, we'll let you stand at the door and greet people. And that just kills people. And it's like we have people that want to serve. I've known people, friends of mine that are, some guy who's an IT hotshot programmer, makes $150,000 a year, and he goes to his church and says, I'll build you a system for our visitors or something. And they don't do it. And it just kills him because he's trying to serve and give, and there's no place for him. So we want to sort of err on the side of encouraging people into ministry. But then as Michael said, you need to not promise too much in terms of their authority and such until you see that they're proving themselves. Let me look at the time here. All right, so I want to be careful with our time. Let me look at a question from Bob and Carolyn. So Val, we just made the decision to build again to our core leaders. We're not small groups. I'm joining you some. What the first 8 weeks look for. Okay, so the question is to what the first 8 weeks looks like as we start the boot camp and begin our small groups. The first 8 weeks, okay, so that's a good question. So let me do this. Let me call up the program here. I'm going to share my screen. And I'm going to show you some things. Okay, so first of all, technical issues. So you need to log into the website with your username and password. And by the way, Pastor's Coach, if you got a username which is different from your email, you can use your username or your email that you registered with when you log in as your username. Either one works, and then your password. Once you log in, go to My Account, which is up here on the top toolbar, and that's where you're going to find most of your personalized things, the courses that you're, which you have chosen, your assessments and things. And go to Bootcamp member registration and select the track. So this one would be the Thursday one here. I already clicked this one yesterday, but anyway, just simply click that. That's all you need to do. And then you go to the Church Transformation Bootcamp here again under training. And that's going to bring up the what we call the roadmap. And in the roadmap, these are expandable, collapsible sections. And so you click on it and it expands or it collapses. And so this first one has the overview, and this is where we've got it's the same link for both tracks. And you're welcome to come. If you miss the Thursday morning and you want to come Wednesday afternoon, that's fine. You're welcome to do that because we're in sync on the same week now. And here's where the leader notes to download. And so this last week, again, if you're just joining us or joining late, that's fine. We understand. And I'll be happy to do separate sessions with the people. If you're stuck on something or just don't get something, give me a call. We'll set up a Zoom call just like this. But week one was what you were supposed to have covered prior to today. And the way these work, again, this is all the assignments for week one, and you go through and there's videos to watch. These are about 10 minutes each. So it's, you know, it's doable. It's not 19 hours of videos. Download the notes. Now there are worksheet questions in those notes. You can hold off on those if you don't have time, but just kind of go over the material, follows along with the videos. And then we wanted you to start working on the church health assessment. There's an intro video here that will help you understand how it works. And then you do it yourself, and then you start to invite other people. And that's done. Okay, so I'm under assessments here. You go to church health assessment. And that's going to have a series of tabs here. There's a description, instructions. Go to start. And here's where you can take it yourself, and it's 50 questions, and then here you invite other people. If you invite other people to take it, and you can invite a minimum of 5 and a maximum of 15, and you put their name in here and their email, last name and email, and then you just simply send invite, and it sends them an email with a link. They don't have to register. They don't have to create an account. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to log. They don't have to do anything. All they have to do is just follow the link, take some writing assessment. They take it. They will not see the results. You will, and so you can share those results as you wish. We don't want you to be blindsided. We want you to be able to go over results. You can also, if you wish, you don't have to, but you can add a personal message. Hey, Joe, please, you know, take this assessment, okay? And then it will show here the people who you've invited and whether they have actually done it. If they have not responded yet, you can, you know, a week or two from now, you can resend the invite code. So we know it's going to take several weeks for this to happen. We've planned that as a part of the process. Okay, so, and then what, now the results tab will not show up here until someone has a result. So if you haven't done it yet, you won't have this tab. But once you do the assessment yourself, and then you will see this results tab, and then you can look at your result. And there's bar charts, and there's actually 10 themes and 5 focal points. So, and the first 5 themes follow the fivefold ministry, apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, pastoral teaching, and we go into some other themes. And so the scoring here is such that if you, you know, it's in red, like, okay, here, evangelistic ministry theme under process, we got a 2. It's pretty, you know, I scored a 2. That's pretty low. So I noticed that this, when you hover over these, it turns into a link. So I can click that link, and it actually takes me to a resource page with a video that is tied to that point, and then you can look at other videos as well that are also related. So there's a great resource. There's actually 60 60 videos that are part of this assessment alone. I mean, this assessment alone is worth about $800, and that's included here. Okay, and then once you have other people taking it, you can look at the results by member. There's Alan Stanley, his results. There's Karen Hart results. And then you can look at the whole team as a whole, averaged. And then you can compare and say, okay, here's me, here's Alan Stanley, here's Karen Hart. So that you can see, like, okay, most of our team rated us really high in this area, but these two people rated us really low. So what does that mean? Let's have a discussion about that. This is to get real feedback. You know, sometimes people are afraid to really share honestly with you. And so this is an attempt to get some real feedback on how you're doing. You can't fix it if you don't know it's broken, right? okay, so that's the assessment. And then week two is what you're going to start on after today, or, you know, from today now. There's another set. There's now 5 videos to watch. Again, these are about 8 to 10 minutes apiece. And then going through the now in the notes, you can download. Let me pull that up. Okay, you can download. There's a Word version. There's a PDF version. If you want to work right in the electronic version, download the Word version and just work right in it. Each of these sections, like basically section one, relates to the first leader's spiritual life. Let's go back to week one. Notice how we've got here, it's in this series, How to Build a Thriving Church, Leader, Spiritual Life, Home Life, Life. So each of these is a section in that first chapter of the notes. So it's about 15, 20 pages. It's not 200 pages. You don't have to read the 200-page document the first week, okay? All right, just the first section, and they follow along. They actually follow the videos. Some people prefer to, you could print this out and, you know, 3-hole punch it, put it into a binder, and then you work with a, you know, paper and pen. That's fine. It's up to you. All right. And let me just then cover, again, a little bit of what's in the track overview. Week one assignment had a look at the track overview, and I did an overview of the whole program. I just want to just really fast do that again here. All right, can you guys see that okay? Okay, so we're in the first 2 months right here, March and April, and we're going to go through our core, most important teaching and tools, and then you'll be starting to, we have this implementation, and we're going to give you more on this, but you're prepping to start the small group. Actually, it's a small group. In May. So by the time you get to May, you're going to launch a single small group with you leading it with this core team and extending that core a little bit. So you want to have 10 to 15 people or so in this first group. And this is like the best that you got, and get them together, and you're forming your core if you don't already have a core, but you might have 2 leaders that are your core, but we want to extend this out during this time, because you want to be basically you are assembling the building blocks and you're getting things in place. So you run this for 8 weeks, and you need to be able to have the experience be whatever you want the other groups to be in the future. So if you can do it with 10 or 15 people, then you can duplicate it out. But if you can't do it with 10 people, you can't do it with 100 people. If you, the leader, can't do it, then you can't expect, you know, Mary and John, who are not, you know, full-time leaders or ministers, you can't expect them to do it in their home with another 10 people. So in other words, you have to really build and lead and give the experience of prayer and worship and fellowship and really introducing the whole development concept that each person is being developed and each person has a ministry and each person has a calling. All that being experienced in that first group, so that then you prep over the it's our summer in North America, it'd be winter in the Southern Hemisphere. But anyway, a prep during July and August, and then in September, from that first group, you launch 3 to 5 small groups that are doing the same thing, but now they have a longer time period to work and to go through. But they'd be starting with the Destiny Finder material again. And the Destiny Finder material is awesome because it gets people focused on serving and their ministry and tapping into what God's called them to do. And when you help your people tap into their destiny, they will be motivated internally. They will want to serve. They will want to do stuff. They'll say, I want to work with sex trafficking victims here in our country. You say, great, you know, let's help you work towards that. And then your job is to be, the challenge will be how to help them understand your church's organization destiny and their personal destiny, and bringing those really together so that you're developing them. I was talking with someone a week ago, and he heard Michael for the first time. He goes, you know what? I never thought about that, the idea of spending, you know, the bulk of my time doing one-on-one meetings to develop people. And, you know, this is a crucial concept that we're going to hit on over and over again, is that, you know, if you're spending 20 hours a week on your sermon prep and 4 hours a week meeting with individuals, we're going to say flip that. Spend 4 hours on your sermon and 20 hours on the people, because your sermon that you do in 4 hours won't be quite as good as the one you took 20 hours on, but it'll be good enough. But the most, where the transaction takes place for people development, is when you and your core team leaders are meeting with people. And we're going to give you a template for how, when you meet with them, how to best maximize that time. Okay, so let me quickly. Okay, so you go through 9 months with that first set of groups, and then you do it again. So, but really by the end of that 9 months, each of your leaders and your core are working with, your core maybe some of the leaders themselves, but they're working to raise up assistant leaders in each area. So by the end of that 9 months, you've got a second set of leaders ready to, in the following September, you then double that. And then you launch here 6 to 10 small groups that are doing the same thing. And so you're really, let me stop sharing. So you're building this multiplication dynamic, and you're, now I know some people are going to resist. We're going to say, oh, we have our little group here and it's so good, and they pray for me every week and it's so wonderful, and I don't want to leave them. I don't want to get new people. I mean, they won't say that, but they won't say, I don't want to get new people. They might, but the impetus will be to, no, let's just keep our little group together for the next 20 years. That's all I want to do. And so you're going to have to, through vision casting, talk about reaching the lost, talk about reaching their neighbors, talk about reaching people, and then that's going to call for them to multiply. Now, you don't send them out by themselves. They're going to go, so half the group is going to stay and half the group is going to go within the group. And again, there'll be some resistance, and not everyone's going to buy into that, but as you begin to build a vision, again, leading through vision, people will start to buy into that vision, and they will start to get on board, so that each cycle of the group, you're building, your people are serving. It's not a care group. Don't use that term, care group, because that's like, I'm going to come and get my needs met, and it's all inward focused. You know, we want to provide pastoral care, absolutely essential. We're not saying that the pastoral function is not important, but we're saying the apostolic function and mentality of training and sending and mobilizing people, that's what's going to turn your church from a consumer-oriented inward to multiplying and reaching out, and everybody, that everyone's mobilized into using their gifts, okay, according to their calling, and they're going to be happy because they're going to be using what they're wired for and what God gave them, and they're going to be productive because they're doing what God really has actually gifted and called them to do. Okay, so I've talked a lot. Let's take, we've got a two more minutes, and I can stay on longer if I know we're right at 10 o'clock now. If you need to leave, please feel free. I'll go another 5-10 minutes to take more questions, whatever. Your basic assignment, though, is now to start on week 2 material, and then we'll discuss that next week. Okay, so please ask a question. Let me switch to active speaker.
We have a question.
Okay, go for it.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I can't see you yet.
Yeah, we don't have the video camera working yet.
Okay, all right.
You don't want to see us right now anyway, because
you and your PJs. Right, okay, right, okay.
All right, so we have a lot of challenges at our church. We're a small church. Been a small church for a long time. And one of our questions is similar to Ilsa's, which is that we have not so many people that it's not so much bad character as it is just hurting people, like woman who just going through a divorce, other people have emotional issues and different things like that. Somebody facing prison sentence and all kinds of stuff like this. It's really heavy stuff. And, so it's like we can probably get some people that are stronger, but there's like probably more than 50% of our church is like really hurting. So how do you help to move them forward like that? And
well, welcome to our world, all of us. I mean, this is our society now, and honestly, it's only going to get worse before it gets better, because we are seeing the results of generations now without good parenting, without, fathers here in America, with, in the ethnic communities, with the Black community, not a lot of dads, and it's huge issues, people going through divorce. I've gone through divorce. It's, devastating. You have to, I hope this is not too simplistic, but you have to start with where you're at. So if you get, if you've got, three people that are the faithful, available, and teachable, and everyone's got issues and problems. You have to identify, you have to try to figure that out. If they have a problem that's going to really, interfere, then you have to wait until they're ready. And if someone's going through a divorce, it might take them, 2 years to really come through fully, where they're able to emotionally function well, and them's the breaks. There's no easy way around that, but look for it. I was talking with Jamie yesterday about this. It's better to have two people that are your court that are on board, and they're with you and they're able to do it, than to have six that are halfway in, halfway out, not sure, and whatever. So you have to have at the core, at the inner core, you've got to have people that are really on board, they're with you, and they are starting to get it, and they're willing to start to minister in this way. So
another mm-hmm. question that I have has to do with our personal development. Going through the first 5 chapters, we were like, wow, we have a lot of stuff to work on. And how do we balance that with helping to take, helping to build and develop other people?
Yeah, helping to build a ship while it's at sea. Yeah, well, we believe everyone should be being mentored as well as mentoring somebody, everybody throughout the whole church, from the leader all the way to the Sunday school worker. Everyone should be having someone pour into them and them pouring into someone, so that everybody is on a developmental track, regardless of where you're at. So do you have any mentors? Do you have other leaders in the body or in your association or anything that are, with you, over you, helping you?
At this point, we don't. We did have a really good organization that was with us. They were based out of Florida, and when their ministry building was wiped out by a hurricane, it kind of disbanded. And we've been in process since last summer of trying to connect again with somebody else, because we've been kind of out of network for probably 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So then we came across you guys. So we're kind of doing that right now, but we are still looking for something else. We just haven't clicked yet.
Right. Well, we work with a number of actually different associations that are, you know, associations that either they provide ordination, that have all, you know, licensed ministers that are, you know, part of their group. So we can, you know, I can certainly recommend some of those. You know, we will function somewhat in that capability through this program, but we wouldn't see ourselves, you know, direct, you know, we wouldn't want to be your overseers necessarily. You know, it'd be better to have someone that's, like I said, that's working with you. But I think that's important. And you know, it's kind of like the wounded healer, you know. We're all in process. We're all works in process. And we've all been through stuff. If you've been in ministry for very long, you know, you've been beat up sometimes, this and that. And so, again, you got to start with where you're at. You know, try not to get too overwhelmed with all the material. We're going to have time to work through this. This is not learn it all in a week and then you're, you know, set to double your church the next day, you know. So, you know, we're going to take our time. We're going to work through this, and we're going to be, you know, coaching and helping, and other people. We want everybody to contribute as we go too. So I think the most important thing is to, you know, start to make the paradigm shift yourself, you know, from pastoral to apostolic, and really thinking about your vision. I said this yesterday to the class. You need to really be clear on what God's called you to do and build, and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And you're going to have to say no more to people. You're going to have to say no to people like, no, we're not going to do a homeless ministry right now because we need to build this instead, or whatever it is. And some people are not going to like that, and you know, and they're not going to be with you, and that's okay. It's better to have half the size group that's with you than a bigger, you know, than something which is twice the size that they're going in all different directions and whatever. So building your core, and especially, I know a number of us churches have people that have been, as it were, core team members or long time board members or something, that are maybe it's a guy who's a businessman and he's well respected and he's been part of the church forever. And so they're very influential, but they're not maybe involved in actual ministry in the church. And this is something you're going to have to really work towards separating that out. You have to have your primary core has got to be people that are on board to minister in the church. So if someone, what you do is, and we'll actually talk about this next week, is you need to move people that are not able to minister, don't have time or the energy or vision for that, and move them into more like an advisory position. So they can still have some input, but your primary core, this is everything. You have to have your primary core people that are on board, ready to minister, and because that's what is going to replicate. And so you've got to have the right thing at the core to be able to replicate that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Well, it's 10:09. But let me see. Okay, Robert. Hey, Robert, did you want to ask a follow-up on that? Looking at your question.
Glenn, if I could real quick. I'm Carolyn.
Oh,
I'm Bob's wife.
Great. Hi.
Team Savelle here. Bob's listening in the background. Okay. We have a church. We've been doing it for 16 years. We started the church 16 years ago in Tucson. And we've gone through all those things that you indicated. We've been pouring in for years into, I would say, a core group of leaders that were older, you know, mm-hmm. our age, late 40s, 50s, some of them into their 60s. And a couple of years ago, my husband, Bob, poured into a younger generation a lot for a couple of years. And so we've taken a little sabbatical. I don't mean sabbatical and leaving the church. We've just pulled back for the last couple of years after doing a lot of hard work. We needed a little bit of a break. And so we were just starting to think about restarting small groups, pouring into our leaders again, but our concept of pouring into them was meet once a month, worship, pray, and fellowship. And then we came upon your pastor's coach, and we were really wanting to follow through with this. But our plan now maybe needs to change. So 3 weeks ago, we were going to do this. Now we're thinking about doing that. My question is we have, I would say, a core group in the church of about 40 that would consider themselves core. They're serving, they want to lead, they've ministered, they're solid. 14 of them are the younger ones that we poured into. They're in their 30s. One couple's 25. They're couples. And then we have a lot of senior leaders as well. We were going to pour into them at another time. There's probably 20 of them. Is it okay to enlarge your groups, even though, will it stretch us too thin? Should we split them up in the groups that they're used to fellowshipping with?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yeah. So, I mean, okay, a couple ways to do this. You want this group, okay, so when we do the group in May and June, mm-hmm. those need to be small enough so that there can be, that basically you want to have what you're hoping to replicate later in people's homes. This should be meeting at home would be ideal. Mm-hmm. If you've got, and your home would be great, if you've mm-hmm. got the setup
we'll
for that. And so you don't want more than 15 or so in that group. Okay. And so you could have a couple groups, I suppose. Uh-huh. That's just a logistical thing, is then you got to figure out nice to do it. But it needs to be a weekly group, and okay. It'll be like 8 weeks, and they'll be going through the Destiny Finder material, and there will be a little bit of homework to do each week, because they're actually doing the online assessment, and they're working on their calling. They're working on, at one of the weeks, you work on a plan. Like, once you have a dream, your dream or calling, or we use the term destiny and dream and calling as the same thing.
Okay.
As well as ministry. Once you have a sense of that, then it's like, okay, now start to work on a plan to get there. So there's some work to do in that. And so you can set the vision for it and say, this is what, we're inviting a select people into this. This is what's going to take. So if you think you can do this, then, come on board. So the more you can make it sound exclusive, then like people, ooh, okay, it's supposed to be important. This is like, I want to be part, like it. And really, it's like, if you as a leader, is one of the things that you can offer to people. If you can't offer them money, and most of us don't have a lot of money to offer, you can offer them your time. That's the most yeah. valuable thing, is your time. You say, okay, so we're going to pour into this group, and then in addition to the weekly group meeting, you're going to be meeting individually with people as well, with the real mm-hmm. the ones with the most potential to lead groups in the future, and as well as I assume you have two or three that are your like primary leaders or elders or yeah. something, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that they're going to be reproducers and multipliers.
Yeah. Well, one of them, we'll see.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's a challenge.
Some of our younger ones are more prepared.
Okay. So next week we will talk more about that. Okay. So, we're over time here. Anyway, God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Work on that. Feel free to call me and we can talk more separately. And Henrik, okay. We haven't published that 2-year overview, Heinrich. Is that how you say your name, Heinrich? Okay, here, let me have, I want to unmute you, Heinrich. So say hi, Heinrich.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Ludington, Michigan.
Great. Okay, awesome. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we haven't published that yet because we're still refining it and kind of tweaking it. The first 8 weeks is really the focus on this core material, but we'll give you more to get ready for that first set of small groups. But when it's ready, we will make that available. But we're still kind of tweaking that, trying to figure out what's the best way to. There's so much material, we don't want people to be overwhelmed. We're really trying to, like, what's the most important stuff and when to hit it. And as well as other people are going to join along the way. So trying to figure all that out. So
great. Okay. Thank you.
Now tell me just real quick, what's your, tell me about your church there.
We have a church of about, I would say about 100 attending, and we're an Assembly of God church, and we've been drinking pretty deep from the well of Bethel for the last years. And I have a friend that actually, she goes to, they're at Bethel, and they work at, with Global. They're Darlene and Uwe Edskerud. And they're actually the ones who hooked us up with this program. And
great. Okay.
Excited about it.
Yeah. Super.
The only thing that I have a question of, as I move forward, it just seems like to develop your core is going to be essential.
Absolutely.
You know, so from my church, we have then elders, which has been my core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd really try to get people on that board that that share my vision. But some of them might not be ready to be life group leaders.
Right.
So I might potentially have to have a Q2Q core and then my elders.
Well, I would say you really, and I don't, I'm not sure what the governmental structure of your church is, but are the elders, are they like a governing board? Like do they... Are you just calling them elders, or is it like Presbyterian Church where they've got elders have authority over the pastor, or what?
They're just called elders. I mean, they have authority. They're the ones that, you know, they do a lot of ministry within the church. They're very hands-on.
Okay.
They are. But some might not have the personality to lead a life group, you know?
Well, then, yeah, well, if I guess I would say, if they're, I mean, elders or leaders, they're overseers. If they can't oversee people, then they're not then they're not really able to be. They can be something else. You can make them advisors. You can make them, you know, head of administration or something. But you need to have your core 2, 3, 4, 5 leaders need to be people who can oversee people.
Sure.
And they don't need to be the most charismatic person in the world, but they need to be able to lead a home group with 10 or 15 people. And not just lead a group, they need to be able to raise up leaders from that group. So it's really, that's what we see the primary need in your leaders is to raise up other leaders.
Okay.
And some people... I mean, if we look at it from a business standpoint, you could say there's certain salespeople that are the star salesmen, but they can't manage a sales team and they can't help other salespeople. And so they're not going to build your team. They're going to be out there doing some great stuff, but we're looking for people that can actually raise up other people. And that's the multiplicational dynamic. And next week, we'll talk more about that, but the need to really over this next season have people self-select, like you need to lay out, well, here's what an elder or overseer, you know, here's what we see that an elder overseer needs to be able to do and be qualified for. And then we say, we let them self-select. You say, so if you want to be that, or you are that, but you're not really meeting up to what it needs to do, then over the next 6 months, we want to see you move towards that. So by the end of 6 months, you need to be doing, you know, 5 appointments a week with individuals and leading a small group and raising up leaders. And so if that at the end of that time you're not able to, then that's clearly not your role or gifting, whatever. And this is where it gets hard, but there's just no way around this. You've got to get, you know, the best and the right people in the right place. And that's in business or in any kind of organization, getting the right people in the right place is, I mean, a sports team, you know, getting the right coach.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Is the key to everything. And once you get that, then you can build. But you can't build if, you know, 2 or 4 overseers are not people and they can't, you know, do a group with 10. You can't run a group of 10. You know, they can't run a group, I mean, you just can't. So you have to figure out how to separate that and say, okay, I mean, and I'm giving you just the short version here. but you would maybe move those two people into some kind of advisory board, and they meet with you once a month
sure.
to kind of pray and give you some input, but you kind of move them over there so they can still, you know, you honor them mm-hmm. and you value them and they still have some input, but they're not one of your primary leaders.
Okay, that's really good.
Yeah,
so the Destiny Finder is going to be more in the second week. In the notes, it says for us to take that and that there's also available for 10 people to take it.
Well, it's okay that we want you to start this week for you to begin to work through the online tool, which is called the Profiler, the Destiny Profiler.
Yeah, okay.
And so we have you do to get it and then do the first two assessments in the Profiler. And then also begin to get the video. Now you have to buy the videos, but you're going to use those videos for the small group you're going to do in May.
Okay.
So, and they're like eight or nine videos. It's Michael teaching a Destiny Finder workshop, and they're about 15 minutes each. And it's a great topic to use in a small group. That way, when you're leading the small group, you don't have to do all the teaching.
Okay.
You play the video, but then it's about discussing it and helping and then working with it.
Great.
With people. Okay. And then that also becomes a primary, when you launch the next set of groups, they do the same thing. So they you know, play the video and then they discuss it. People are doing an online tool. I mean, it's really powerful and it's an awesome, program in and of itself for a small group, but it's geared to get people to be thinking and working towards being mobilized into service.
Okay, that's
so
great.
Hopefully by the time you go through that, you know, your members that are going through it are coming to you and going, okay, I have a dream. I want to do this or I want to do that, or I want to work with kids in Africa. You say, great, let's have you work in the children's church for 6 months or a year. We're going to pour into you. We're going to send you on help you find a short-term mission to Africa and start to check it out. We're going to work towards that. And so you are helping them develop, but helping them to develop means serving along the way. And so you bring the organizational destiny and the personal destiny together.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
And that's the idea. But we're going to talk a lot more about that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your extra time. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right. Thanks. All right. God bless. Goodbye.